You're listening to Thrive with Karina Grueling, a personal health and life design podcast for the modern everyday woman. Tune in and get inspired on how to thrive in your body and life. This is your host, Karina Grueling.
Hey, ladies, and welcome back to the show. And now I'm thrilled to introduce our next guest, Katie Silcox. She's not just a New York Times bestselling author of Healthy, Happy, Sexy, and Glow Worthy, but also the founder of the Shakti School. And that's an online certification hub for women-centered holistic Ayurvedic wellness. So Katie thrives, inspires, and empowers women to glow in their daily lives. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So Katie, I'm curious, how did you first get interested in Ayurveda and feminine empowerment, and what made you an expert in this field?
Well, I don't know if I would consider myself an expert. I very much consider myself a struggling student of Ayurveda. And to answer your question, I think what brought me to Ayurveda is what brings a lot of people to anything that's outside of their circle of what they're used to. And that was that I was struggling and I was suffering a lot, both physically and mentally and emotionally. I knew that something wasn't right. And so I began to study yoga, and particularly tantric forms of yoga and philosophy really, really diligently and intensively. And then I found out that there was this whole sister science to yoga called Ayurveda that, I mean, you're German, but in America, this was largely unknown. And it blew my mind that there was this whole holistic wellness that always rode alongside the practice of yoga, and yet we weren't being taught that. And so the short answer is that pain and suffering really led me to Ayurveda and got me started on that journey.
Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, you're right. No, many of us come to yoga or discover Ayurveda because we suffer of health problems, no, physically, mentally, emotionally. And yeah, both together, yoga and Ayurveda, wow, that's magic. So let's dive a little bit deeper into how understanding and embracing feminine energy can enhance a woman's journey in entrepreneurship and in life. So what, in your view, are some key feminine leadership qualities that empower women in entrepreneurship?
Well, I mean, I think maybe it would be helpful before we go into entrepreneurship to kind of start with the feminine. We at Shakti School just did a whole long hour around that definition. And the feminine is impossible to define. It's like trying to define love or awakening or enlightenment. The feminine is, and yet we know it when we are in it, right? We know when we're feeling that love, and we know when we're feeling that experience. And so what the feminine, if we were to try to define it, is this capacity to really hold oneself in positive regard. It is the emptying out of the mind of its contents so as to be able to feel the pulsation of life that's always there. And if we keep following our experience inside of our meditation, inside of our body, what we find is that there, when we explore our bodies, we find that there's something there. We aren't just our thoughts. We're not just our emotions. We're not just our physiological sensations. We're not our memories. And if we just, and they're a part of our experience, right? But if we keep following those experiences and opening to them and not making anything bad or wrong inside ourselves, when we keep doing that, we start to be able to tune our awareness to the subtle realm of what the ancients called prana. Shakti, right? The energy of power. That's what the word means. Our inner energy power. And so, wow, right? And of course, men have this as well as women, but women are naturally very, very able to connect to this because we are the creative force, the generative force for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Inside of our bodies, we hold this super potent, regenerative, creative force. And so what I always teach my students at the Shakti School is if you want to create a business that, by the way, women have been running their own businesses for thousands and thousands of years. We're really good at entrepreneurship because we can do lots of things at once, right? If you want to do that, one, of course, you need to like do all the things out in the world, right? Like start a website and blah, 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 like get some good coaching and figure out what your value is and what you're going to offer. But that's what I refer to as kind of that like to-do list, that more masculine element of like build the building. But before you build the building, why don't we go back and take a look at the land? Go into the terrain. And what that means is we leave behind for a moment the to-do list, which we're all very much trained to go to first. I want to make a lot of money, or I want to get out of this job that I hate. So I'm going to do. But the feminine says, wait a minute, before you do that, tap into that inner body, that meditative realm where you can experience the creative energy itself. And you can use that energy inside your body to do this miraculous thing that the yogis called laya. Laya means to dissolve. We learn how to dissolve and open and resolve and dissolve what? The accumulation of our past. Oftentimes, we don't move forward in certain aspects of our life because we are operating from an old mode of being. And so my passion in my personal life as a yogi is not so much to do downward dog, but which is great, but it's to enter into a radically truthful relationship with my own inner experience of what is. And every single day, waking up and opening myself to that which I don't understand and know about my unconscious mind that is holding these limiting beliefs and limiting perceptions about reality. That is working with the feminine. And in our school, we work with meditation through a lot of energy work. And so on a practical level, feminine entrepreneurship can be supercharged by women learning how to meditate with their energy rather than just sitting down and getting quiet.
Wonderful.
I could talk for hours about this.
I think this was really one of the most beautiful explanations I heard about the feminine energy and what you said, no, letting go of concepts, no, of who we think we are and really discovering our true essence. This also makes us so unique, no? Like, and when we are unique, we are shining and we are vibrant, and then we will also attract the kind of clients that we need for our business to run, that it works out in the end, and all the other things like the website and the marketing strategies, all important, but the most important is, to get ourselves first in the right place.
You know, thank you so much for saying that, because that's it, right? And I had a teacher tell me this when I was very young, and he said, people don't come to your yoga class or go to your business because of the business. They come because they like your energy and your vibration. And it sounds so like airy-fairy or hippy-dippy, but it's not. Like, and you can't fake authenticity, because right now in the world, everyone on Instagram's like, oh, the new cool thing is that we're all being authentic and vulnerable. And it's like, but it's still like a tool for marketing. And that's the opposite of authenticity. You know, like authenticity is not something you can fabricate. It's the end result of having let your heart break. It's the end result of having awakened the compassionate heart to how much of a dodo bird you are and how much of a beautiful creature you are. Authenticity, that's what people are so drawn to, but you can't fake it. And so I'm really passionate about that, just radical truth telling to myself. And it's amazing. And this is a deeper discussion, Karina, but the whole premise of the definition of yoga, one of them and one of my favorites is to make that which is unconscious in you conscious. And here's the tricky thing about the unconscious. You don't know what you don't know about yourself. And so it's a tricky little monkey, right? Like, And so for me, like, I'm very lucky to have a mentor, and I'm very, very honored to be the mentor to thousands of women in our year-long program, where we help them go in that back door. In a way, you have to trick yourself to understand how these unconscious beliefs are operating, because the unconscious beliefs, they don't want to die, right? They want to, like, keep living their life. And so it requires an immense amount of love, compassion, gentleness, openness, so that your mind, body, spirit feels safe enough to actually let go of some of those old beliefs that, by the way, we put into place because they were how we survived, right? Mm-hmm. In the past. And so, yes, the best thing a woman can do to launch her career is to do a lot of that deep inner work on herself, shadow work.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't remember who it said. Maybe it was even Jung that who said that we, like, how we lead our life is run by the by the 95% of our unconsciousness. Yeah. So, and funny, this is what you are talking about, no?
I was about to say Jung spoke about this, and then you said it, so you and I are quite tuned, you know. And here's what he also said. And it may have been James Hillman, one of his disciples, but he said, the child will live out the parents' unfulfilled longings.
Hmm.
Oh my God, right? Like, how many of us are marrying our fathers? So, like, we're repeating what our mothers did and our grandmothers. And so, like, it's, and another thing I want to say, like, this also requires, first, it's like, we hold this, so I'm holding, I don't know if your listeners will be able to see this, but, like, I'm holding up my two hands in, like, a cup-shaped, you know, open receptive mode. And this is the mudra. A mudra is a sacred hand gesture that we use in Shakti school every year to start it. And it's because it is this paradox of the masculine and the feminine. It is this paradox of the openness and the contraction. And Jung was the master of, like, the tension of those opposites, he called them, are what create this experience. And so of opening to the unconscious. Now imagine this as a woman wanting to thrive on your podcast listening. How do I begin? And what I would say is it requires an incredible amount of strength and bravery and, like, warriorship and humility. We have to sit before our experience and our knowing that we don't know from our ego. Our ego thinks it knows what it needs. And to use that humility to open into that unconscious world, whether through energy meditation, active imagination, dream work. People are really into psychedelics. And what I tell them is they should come to our school, because we do endogenous psychedelia, which means we take you on a psychedelic journey, as the yogis have always done, through the portals of your own body's chemistry. And so if you work with the chakras, you will begin to have these psychedelic experiences that are just that Jungian opening into that unknown realm, which is the key to opening to the energy.
Mm, wonderful. Thank you so much explaining it with so much passion and clarity, you know?
Yes, I'm very Pitta.
Yeah, for our listeners, no, Pitta is all about passion.
Fire.
And, yeah. Yeah. So do you have any kids, if I may ask?
You of course may ask. Not in this lifetime, other than my baby puppy, who is, any puppy moms out there. I think this is, like, maybe 3/4 of having a real baby. So I do not have children in this lifetime, but I very much identify with the mother archetype. I mother people.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a Pitta, no, you can really hold the space, and you like to take responsibility to lead other people, no, all the qualities of a mother.
That's
because
right.
What I would like to talk about a bit is I'm a mother. Many of my listeners are mothers, and I'm sure many of your students are mothers as well. And being an entrepreneur, being a mother at the same time, it can demand a lot. and Ayurveda and yoga have been game changers for me. So can you share a little bit about the self-care practices rooted in Ayurveda that women can adopt to maintain vitality and to prevent burnout?
Sure. Yes, I always tell the women in Shakti School that have children, you are on the tantric journey. If you are attempting to live a soulful life, a thriving life, an awareness-filled life, and have a family, this is a very beautiful spiritual path. Because what is mothering often? It's love in action. And it's also giving of yourself, especially when they're little, right? They aren't returning. I mean, of course, you're getting the love and the beauty from a child, but it's very much in a healthy situation. It should be. Mama's giving baby, right? And so there's this output from an energy perspective. Whenever our mind goes to the external world, our energy is moving out of us. And so it's so vital and important. And in other cultures, they understood this. And so especially when the children were young, there was a lot of support around the mother. And most of our modern Western societies, we've lost that. And so the modern Western woman is experiencing complete burnout. And so I feel very much for the women who do have children that also want to have their businesses. I mean, we could go into a deep conversation around feminism waves and the way that this has created a situation now where it's wonderful, right? That you and I can have our own bank accounts. And that's a recent development for women in the modern reality. And yet, what many women are finding is, oh my God, I'm still doing a lot of the other work as well. And so it's double time. And so what I would say first and foremost is to have, unless they're very young, when your children are very young, in Ayurveda, we say you're breastfeeding, you're with the child, that's your spiritual practice. Don't worry about doing anything formal, right? That will be there when they're grown a little bit older. Because some women feel guilty if they were yogis and then they have a baby and they don't do their practice in the same way. And so to let go of that guilt and to really consider before we start any self-care routine, what is the purpose? What is the thing that you want your life to be about? It could be peace. It could be love. But finding that and letting that be the guiding force behind self-care routine. So one of my mentors used to say, before you sit down and do your meditation, try to fall in love. Be in an energy of love. Otherwise, your self-care will become one more thing on your to-do list. Oh my God, I just studied Ayurveda. Now I have to scrape my tongue, do my neti pot, put the oil on my body, you know, do my mantras, do my breath work, do my blah, 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 blah. And then they get Ayurveda overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is pause in the morning. Morning is a good time, but the second best time is any other time. Sit down, open up your heart, find that field that women can easily access. How? Smarana yoga, the yoga of remembrance. Remember how much you love your child, how much you love your partner, how much you love the trees and the mountains. Find a way to remember love. And then for me, it's very easy to do it with like my nephew, baby Jack. Think of your baby. That is the energy of the divine mother. Now pour that energy into you. And so then they, you know, just one basic, super easy energy practice is you just feel your awareness moving from the front of your body at the level of your heart to the back of your body at the level of the heart and letting it wrap around you. And just imagine that. And over time, that imagination starts to be real. And you start to be held in that love field. And I think that's the most important. Of course, they can go read all about Ayurvedic techniques, and I'm happy to offer and share some today. But none of those matter if we aren't sitting in that field of that we all long for, which is the divine mother, the one who can never abandon you, the one who can always fill you. And that love energy is what can then give you the energy that you need to go through your day or start your business. And so for me, sometimes I have to pause throughout the day and invite that level of spiritual support into my heart. Otherwise, I'm running on Katie Silcock's ego energy. And that tank is real small. You know what I mean? When you're running on ego, it's like 6 o'clock, time to watch TV. I am done.
And it just brings us back what you said at the very beginning, no? Put the to-do list on the side and just tune in. And once you tuned in and you get the right vibrancy, this is also the place where you will make completely different choices regarding your food, how you react to other people, how you speak to yourself. And I think, yeah, it's wonderful what you just said. I really love it. I never thought about it like this. Of course, you know, like when you do a lot of yoga and Ayurveda, you know that self-love is to tune in to that force is super important, but I never thought about it. Yeah, like that is like the most important thing to do. And then everything else can follow, no?
Yeah. And that's why I tell people I don't roll out a yoga mat every, I used to be, you know, very yoga girl. I don't really roll even out the yoga mat the same way anymore. I love yoga, go to classes to be in community, but the purpose is to find the energy of love and openness. And if you've got that, you can go on a jog, you can take a hike, you can lay on the ground. And I'm getting a little teary-eyed because I'm thinking about the thousands of women that have come through our school and why I love what we've created is that we trust the intuitive heart of these women to make the decisions around their food, their sexuality, their relationships, the herbs, all of these things that Ayurveda has done a really good job in holding for us as a cultural treasure and artifact of India. But the deeper purpose of Ayurveda is the universal heart. And when you give women the tools, whether that be breath work or energy work or cleaning up, will it help you to clean up your diet, do breath work, get outside in the sunshine, and do all these things that Ayurveda says? 100%. That is the purpose of Ayurveda, is to clear your mind, body, heart enough, energy enough, so that you can feel the natural pulsation of the diamond-like love that is you. And if we're really gunked up, we need those techniques. But once we have those techniques and that intuitive, the ancient Buddhist called it prajna, which means the light of wisdom that comes from the practices, that's what brings the tears to my eyes, is when you give women those tools to tap into their intuition and their heart, they know what they need. And rarely, and we have an Ayurveda school that teaches you all the rules, but rarely will their intuitive heart say, you need to do this, 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 this every morning. You better do it, girl. Lose 10 pounds and this and that. It never says that. When we tap into the intuitive heart, and I'm reading what the women experience over and over and over again, you know what they say? Accept yourself. Take yourself off the hook. Forgive yourself. Find calm. Find peace. You are worthy, perfect, and whole, just as you are in this moment, and in infinite variations on that theme. And so that's what is really inspiring to me. And do I need Katie Silcock's? I wrote a New York Times best-selling book on Ayurveda. Do I oil my body every day? No, I don't. Should I?
Even as a pitta, no? And they are often the perfectionists.
Oh, I'm not. Trust me. I have a lot of water as well, but I don't do it. And should I? Probably. But I know my heart is right with the God of my understanding, Karina, when I'm doing my love practice that, you know, I do. And I'm in right relationship. I'm very, very lucky to have a very personal, close relationship to my mentor. And I'm like, if I'm doing that work of loving myself, and learning how to liberate myself from my family, crazy, I'm on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the techniques that Ayurveda is giving us, they are important. No, it's like it can also give us then tools when we need them. However, your intuition, this is the most important thing. And I was working for 10 years as a therapist. You know, people came to me for Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic consultations. And at one moment, I also thought it's kind of a bit frustrating. Why to tell them what to do? No, you can give them the tools, but it's so much more powerful and magical when a woman accesses her intuition that tells her exactly what is good for her, because the person who knows it best are we, no, it's ourselves. And yeah, beautiful. Like, I think you already answered one of my other questions, because like in Ayurveda, I mean, it's also so successful because it helps us to understand our unique body mind, no, spirit type, with Vata and Pitta and Kapha and all the subtypes that we have. And, but I think, yeah, you already answered that, no, like we are unique. We need to discover that uniqueness. We need to trust it, that we will discover what is the best for us to do. But yoga and Ayurveda, of course, with all the practices that we learn there, it's kind of just on top of what we can do in order, yeah, to be healthy and strong and, really live our Dharma, no, in this life. So, when we are entrepreneurs, I mean, you know that as well, we always face challenges. And in our society, I would say, and with most of the coaches that we study, they really learn us a very masculine approach to overcome these challenges. No, like, okay, this is a challenge, you need to know exactly what it is about, then break it down, make a plan, apply it, get over it. So, and I'm wondering, you know, like with what you just also said, no, yeah, like with our intuition, with the Ayurvedic and yogic principles, how can we overcome these challenges? How can we navigate stress, setbacks? Yeah. How can we boost our resilience that we really need when we are entrepreneurs in order to have a successful business?
Yeah. I'm giggling. It's like there's so much wisdom in the Shiva Shakti, in the yin and yang symbol, Langana Brahmana in Ayurveda. You can call it whatever you want. It's in us. It's in all of nature. And it's this constant pulsation between freedom and openness and the heavens, if you will, the transcendent and the messy, chaotic, changing, crazy reality. And in our mind, we are working as whether we're speaking about our success as entrepreneurs or as practitioners of whatever spiritual discipline, we're constantly navigating, looking into and being in the state of freedom and clarity and emptiness and silence, and knowing that the goddess is always going to be around, and she is everything else, right? All of our feelings, all of the ups and downs and changes of reality. And so I think on the biggest level, we're all confronted with our immortality and our chaos and all of these issues that are the vicissitudes and nature of nature, and our freedom and our spaciousness and our silence and our transcendence. And to be able to really hold that and touch that is one of the greatest advantages as an entrepreneur. Because when you're able to access what I call in my company, the eagle eye vision, you're able to span your wings and fly above everything and look down below and see things from a higher perspective, a higher vision. If we don't do that, we're caught in the weeds of our life. And so that can also be, you know, you've heard this phrase, I'm sure, spiritual bypassing, right? We also don't want to say that the weeds are bad or that the weeds are yucky, right? Because that's the feminine, right? She is the constant change and dynamicism of life. And so we need to find that balance in our own mind of being able to honor our thoughts and our feelings and our memories and our images and our dreams. And especially for women, we need to be able to tap into the free, spacious, open quality that is the true nature of the mind. Now, I know that was a sort of more esoteric answer, but on a practical level, on a, you know, one day, you know, this is a part of what we do in Shakti School is teaching how feminine form does business, because that's the way I've always done things and done pretty well with it so far. You know, it could always change, but I've been very successful so far. And I never wrote a business plan. I never wrote out a to-do list in a very formal way. I never had a big, perfect vision. And then I went into it and problem solved, you know, I think like a man. I just was so in love with Ayurveda. I was so in love with yoga. I was so on fire and passionate for how much it had helped me that I wanted to help other people with it. And I'm not going to lie, I like taking care of myself. I like making money. I like that I don't have to rely on a man or a partner like my grandmother had to do, like my great grandmother's, right? And so I very much am open with our students about this. And we talk about money very freely. It's very taboo for women to talk about money. And I think on a practical level, first, we have to clear away our emotions and discomforts and fears around even speaking about money and clear away this false belief that hinders so many women in our community, which is, I'm a woman of soul, I'm a woman of spirit, I'm a woman of love and compassion and goodness and giving, and therefore I can't ask for any money. That those two things cannot possibly coexist is one of the worst things for a woman's business entrepreneurship. We have to grow our confidence to know that our worth and value as holistic healthcare practitioners that have been doing this since the day this was born, women are the gatekeepers and fire tenders of women's wisdom and medicine and birthing and deathing and medical knowledge. And because we lost that, and we can talk about the history of that, right? We're so terrified to even ask for our value, which for our culture, and girl, I'm in the United States. There is nothing more valuable to my culture in America than how to heal your body. We are one of the most unhealthy cultures in the world. And so the first thing I try to help women do is to start to see if they go through a year-long program like ours, or, and I'm not trying to just sell my course, which I think is really good, but like if like you mentioned Chinese medicine, you may be a therapist of a Western psychological discipline, any type of work in the world, whether you're a bagger at the Trader Joe's or you're working as a practitioner, what I think is so vital and what helped me transform my financial and entrepreneurship journey was the moment when I realized that I knew more about Ayurvedic health than 99% of the people in the state that I lived in called Virginia. In that demographic, I'm an expert. Now, if we're talking about India and the great master teachers, I am a complete newbie still. I am constantly humbled by how much I don't know because Ayurveda is the science of all of life. But when I got that and I realized someone's eating a salad and ice water in the winter, can I help them? Yes, ma'am. Is someone eating McDonald's and I can teach them how to cook khichdi or even Italian pasta or anything natural? Can I help people? Yes, ma'am. And when I realized that I could help people so much with meditation, wow. Now this has value. And a practical thing I'll leave on this note, I'm passionate about the business stuff, as you can see, is I never did any of these deep business planning techniques. I simply found out what my heart was passionate about and attempted to share it as fearlessly as possible. And that is not easy, right? Because I have an inner tyrant saboteur that tells me I'm not good enough. And you have the outer world telling you things as well. And so to just trust that, show up, shine your light. And then as an exercise, I have the women in Shakti School do this in our business module. Think of the amount of money that you would like to receive for your time and your services. Maybe it's hourly, maybe it's a different setup, but think about the number that when you got finished with that call or that session or that job in the world, and this goes beyond Ayurveda, when you did that, that you could leave that moment feeling, wow, I feel that I also received what makes me feel valuable and valued. That might be $90, it might be $9,000, but I want you to think of the number where you would get off the phone and go, whoa, I can't believe I just made that. I feel so good, right? And this makes women lose their minds. This is so hard, right? Like, could I really ask for what I want? And to just try that out as a sort of meditation. And then I'm a big fan of like sliding scales. We have payment plans in the Shakti School. We do all types of things where we can honor the fact that not all of our clients are going to have the same income. How beautiful, a sliding scale. Hey, you can pay me from 100 to 1,000, but you need to pay me. I could talk for hours about this, Karina, so you just have to stop me.
You know, I could listen to you also for hours. So, yes. No, what you just mentioned, I really loved what you just said. And I think especially in our industry, when it's about health and wellness and it comes to money, there are really so many disbeliefs or so many, I think sometimes also many women, they limit themselves. Because, okay, when I'm compassionate, when I really want to help, how can I charge a lot of money for that? But when I'm sure you as well, when I think about how much money and time I invested in all my trainings, this is really a down payment for an apartment. And so we are investing so much in ourselves. We are so dedicated. So it's so important also to charge an amount that we feel good with. No, like we have to decide for ourselves what's the value of what we have, what we are offering. And yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up. One of the downsides of the spirituality community is that we're not living in reality. We want to leave reality, and I want to be in reality. And the reality that we live in is a financial reality. And I always tell my ladies, what would the world be like if you guys were the ones who had enough resources? The feminine shares really well. The feminine nature is to offer her breast to the child. When people who are and men have this too, right? When we're tapped into the depths of our matured feminine and our matured inner masculine, we give. This is crazy. When a man has high testosterone, he doesn't become violent. He gives. He opens the door. He provides. He gives to the tribe, to the community. The feminine, when she's matured, when her estrogen and progesterone are pumping and she's in her vitality and her juiciness and her joy, hell yeah, come on over. I made this food and, you know, I'm like in the Bahamas right now. Come on vacation with me. I'll pay. I'm not saying that's me, but it might be me. But like the feminine, I'm a Leo double Leo. It's like that's the mama energy of that lioness that says, my cubs, my tribe, my community, we're all in this together. And we live in this reality where, historically speaking, women's traditions, herbalism, natural living, all of these types of things have been so devalued. And I think that exists in the subconscious of the culture and in women especially. I mean, witches were literally killed and burned. The libraries of Alexandria that held this Western knowledge and Eastern knowledge of all over the world were burned. Why do we have to go to India and study Ayurveda and maybe the little birth child of Ayurveda called Chinese medicine? why do we have to go there humbly and with respect? Because our traditions were, many of them burned, died off. Now, you know, we have some links, but Ayurveda held it together despite colonialism. And it's still recovering from that cultural devaluation that exists in all of us, but especially as women. And so what I love about Ayurveda is that it is so unique to India, but at the same time, the bigger message of Charaka Samhita and these ancient texts, Ashtanga Hridayam, is that it is the universal love and life force. Women all over the planet have more in common than differences. Nature, same. And so when women tap into this, we can do our work to heal that money wound that many of us still carry.
Thank you so much.
Can I say one more thing that I think serve your women or men? It's either one. So my heart lives in mysticism. You know, I'm the worst Ayurveda rule follower, but I'm a damn good mystic. And what I love about Tantra, which is mysticism that lets life be life, is that when you learn how to work with the energy inside and outside of you, and you let that be, and I know that's hard to even know what I'm talking about if you've never done that. And so, Karina, with your permission, we can give you guys a link where people can go and get, I have like 10 to 15 free energy meditations on my website that we can give people so they can even know. Some people might be like, how do I meditate with energy? Anybody can do it, from a beginner to an advanced practitioner. And so let me give them that. But in terms of making money and putting more money in the bank account, what I've found that is if you work to do it only in the physical realm of doing, 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 and in the intellectual realm of thinking, 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 it can only take you so far. And that's not too far, because you're old beliefs will get in the way and your energy system might be functioning in a way that will keep you the same. So one of the best ways that women and men can start to put more money in their bank accounts eventually, you know, and maybe just the amount that we need, is to work with the downward flow of prana, grounding. If I'm not plugged into the big mama of abundance and I'm not plugged in and given fully to that downward flow of life, I'm not in and down. I'm up somewhere in the clouds. One of the craziest, just big life shifts happened for me when I was able to practice. It'll take a few months, but if you keep doing your energy in and down, in and down, in and down, bringing your soul, bringing your life force in and down, in and down, and in and down, you're plugged into the infinite life abundance of the earth. Then that's the first part. Second part, you let the energy of the earth come up into you and up into you, this limitless generosity, limitless abundance, limitless generative force that is the earth. Now you're down and she's coming up into you. That is what it means to be plugged in to her. That's the best way to fill up your tank energetically. And our energy tank, what we are as little auric fields, is going to be mirrored in the outer world. Now, look, Thich Nhat Hanh, he was one of my teachers. He did not relate at all to the money. He was a monk. And when he used to say, I feel so lucky I don't have to worry about a bank account like you guys. I'm lucky. But did Thich Nhat Hanh have monasteries that required millions and millions and millions of dollars to operate? Plum Village? Yes. And so, who knows what his energy field looks like, right? From all that Zen and all that love and all that silence, he was a true master, right? He didn't even have to deal with bank accounts like us. And yet that bigness and that death of the ego allowed him to have an energy field that had probably pretty abundant finances. And so I don't want anybody out there to think, oh God, if I don't have a lot of money in my bank account, I have bad energy. That's not what I'm saying at all. you can have $50 in your bank account and beautiful energy. And maybe you're like Thich Nhat Hanh, who had $0 in his bank account. But what I am saying is that our inner energetic expression affects the outer expression. And if we work to alter the inner, we may find that the outer begins to mirror that back to us. And there are millions of forms of energy and abundance, not just the bank account. So let us all think a little bit more like Thich Nhat Hanh. How can I create beauty and change in the world and have all of the resources that I need to do that? Hmm. And he didn't even have a bank account. So I think that would be like a practical thing people can do is do some of the downward earthing grounding meditations on my website. If anybody out there is listening, I would love to offer anybody listening a discount to our school as well. We'll give that to your listeners because mm-hmm. we do need a container. And for me, I created a year-long thing because it takes a while, you know this as a therapist, to get those patterns in a different direction because yeah. The momentum of the past is just so intense.
Yeah, and also to go through the seasons, not to go through all the different moon phases. And when you have a year, then you have really time to adjust, to discover, to realign. And yeah, I think we really got a good impression about how it feels like to be a member of your school and what we can discover there. I also will share the link in the show notes. Through the to the free meditations and also the discount code, so you can all find it there. So just a little bit. I think it starts next week. Is that correct?
Starts January 17th.
Yeah. So why did you pick that date? I have an idea, but I want to know it.
We usually start the middle of January every year. I think that you probably might have a better grasp on this than myself. It didn't feel at the time like any kind of magical thing. All of our pricing plans are with the number 8, and we're in the feminine, of course, is the 8, and we're now in numerology of the 8. And so the 7 plus the 1 is the 8. But I didn't overtly plan that. And also astrologically, the 17th through this 25th, I think something like that is like this potent time of like the real sort of shift. And so maybe you can share more, but it seems very auspicious.
No, I find it also like 2024, no? It's also the 8 and yeah. for infinity. So it fits very in. No, like when you look in into astrology, so first yeah. people come back from the holidays, no? They go back to normal life and yeah, they will make decisions in January what they are going to do with this year. Where are their priorities? But it's also like we had a lot of planets in retrograde and now they're going all direct. And then we also have like the Chinese New Year is coming up. So yeah, for me, like also when I personally want to start something, January after mid-January is always for me the best time to do it.
That sounds like I'm glad to know that we were sensing that good energy vibes.
So is there anything else we need to know about the training? So it takes a year. It will start next week. People can pay upfront. You have payment plans. I will also put the link in the show notes of the training. So you can find, I think you can even book a call with someone if there are many questions left. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have the most amazing coaches that have gone through the whole, it can be a 2-year program. It's a year-long coaching program. And then it leads to a second tier if you want to. But I tell people, we have a lot of people that do this who can't even barely pronounce Ayurveda. And then we have people who've done their full practitioner level Ayurveda training from other schools who come to our school because they heard it through word of mouth. Like, oh my God, you have to do this Ayurveda training because it's the feminine form that we all sort of want. And we maybe missed a little bit. I mean, I loved my Ayurveda training, but I wanted to offer more than an Ayurveda training, it's like lady life school. It's teaching women how to get in touch with their power, their energy, their love. And from there, we learn all this cool stuff, like how to steam your yoni and how to like create herbal remedies and how to cook. And
We have 20 different teachers that are so, I call us smart plus heart. Like, really, if I may be so bold to say everyone's really, 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 really freaking smart and they love science. And we have lots of doctors and, you know, military people, medical practitioners that come to our school. And then we're heart, you know, we let that ooey gooey love field, you know, if you want to come be cheesy, we're the place. Like, we really do go there and create a, hopefully a balance between the masculine and the feminine that I think people really, really appreciate. But yeah, thank you, Karina, for having me and just giving me this open field to be able to express my heart and my love for Ayurveda. And I hope I can get to know you more as well. And yeah, just really grateful for this opportunity to be on your show.
I can't thank you enough for making time for it. I really enjoyed our conversation. I could go on and on. And as we wrap up, I have one last question. So what's the most valuable lesson you have learned when you reflect back on your journey?
Girl, you're going to make me cry. The thing that you find the most intolerable about yourself is the exact place that needs your love and your openness the most. And that thing that you thought was the demon was the hidden power.
No,
you're not a problem.
Yeah, bringing the shadow into light. No. Okay. Thank you so much, Katie.
You lady. Thank you so much, listeners.
Thanks for joining in today. To learn more about the Thrive Podcast or to get involved in Karina's growing community and online courses, visit karinagrueling.com. Remain committed to intentional choices that help you grow and thrive in your body and life, because you're worth it.